lovebirds waving at me back there. Dick. I'm Lindsay Tuggle. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 9th of 2006. And I sponsor others, and this is my home group. And the reason that I'm here. And the girl that I asked to speak for me is one of my favorite people in the whole world. She's really funny, but mainly because we have kind of an unsaid accountability for each other that we both know is, you know, nothing but love. And, we kind of just stay honest with each other. And, I love her. She's actually going to be the maid of honor at my wedding because there's, very few people I would want, and she just really means the world to me. She's actually one of my first sponsors when I moved here. I say one of because I had like 10 when I first moved here. And, like Jesse, I didn't know what I wanted either. I just asked somebody who said something really funny in a meeting. And so, without hesitation, here's Kitty.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kitty. I'm an alcoholic. I am so, so nervous. Sad. I was talking to my sponsor. last night. I was like, oh my God, I haven't spoken there in like 4 years. I'm so, so nervous. And she's like, why? And I was like, well, my home group's gotten a lot cooler in the past couple years. And like, I feel like I'm losing ground. I'm a mom now. I'm not as many meetings as I would like to be. I don't sponsor as many girls as I would like to. I just feel like I'm losing status. And she's like, first of all, she's like, status isn't really something that you want in an AA group, it makes you like the worst alcoholic, so I don't know where that was coming from. And she also said, I have to remember my primary purpose, and it's not to be here and remind you guys that I'm still cool, Because for many years, I felt like the it sobriety girl. I had all the sponsees. I was always dressed to the nines, always looking good, never missed a meeting, was out all the time. And now, I don't feel like that anymore. And so it's not to remind you guys, that I'm still cool, even though I am. It's just a different form of cool. And I have to remember my primary purpose. I'm like, oh, I think people are going to, worry about, the amount of meetings I get to. Like, they're going to be judging me on that. And she's like, it's none of your business if they do, which is, true. Of course, I think it's my business. I'm like, well, what do you think? And what does so-and-so think? And that has nothing to do with why I'm here, with what happened, what it was like, and what it's like now. But, Lindsay came to me at a time when I was, in my heyday, I felt like, and I must have been like 5 years sober, and I publicly went through probably the most humiliating thing I've ever been through in my life. Not anybody else's fault, like completely on me. And I was acting childish. I was acting gossiping. I was lying. I was acting just really not ladylike at all. I was harming people like big time. And I was acting like, I was out of my mind, I really was. And, but if I came here, or if I saw you guys out at a meeting and you asked me how I was doing, I'd be like, great, I look great, don't I? Because I would always dress, looks like nothing's wrong, looks like I have everything together on the outside. And, I was like, well, I have, 5 years, which, is the most time in the group, so I really have to maintain that, level of I'm doing great, and which is a lie, don't ever do that. But, it's lonely at the top, and it really is. You have to, put on this face all the time. That's not really what's happening, And Lindsay somehow, I don't know where, she came out of nowhere because we weren't really that close, She seemed to be one of the up-and-coming girls, and I was, threatened by that, so we didn't associate that much. And but she would come up to me and she'd be like, I remember she called me one time and she's like, hey, I'm having a couple people over to do s'mores at my house, you want to come? And I'm like, okay, cool, I could wear this new outfit or whatever. I get there and it's just her, And I'm like, oh my God, like, we're going to do s'mores together. Like, I don't barely even know this girl. I don't want to hang out here. And she started talking to me about my situation, which was right in the middle of, like, the midst of the insanity, you know? And she saw through it all. She saw through everything. She's like, you're not fine. You need to hang out. You know, you need to do this. You need to do that. And I mean, she scooped me up off the floor, you know, like, when I really felt like, if she hadn't have done that, if God hadn't have put it in her heart to do that, and she didn't listen to that urge to do something uncomfortable to help another alcoholic, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because I had gotten my self-will had rolled me into a situation that it looked like there was no getting out of without taking a drink, you know, or, you know, some other form of something. But anyways, so I am forever indebted to Lindsay for that, and I just try to pass it on and follow her example. You know, I don't always want to reach out to people, especially when it seems like it's going to be work. You know, I like in the 12 and 12, it talks about alcoholics are genuinely alarmed at the prospect of work. And then if they do it, they do it grudgingly and under half steam. That's me, you know, to this day. I'm like, oh, I've got to go pick up this freaking newcomer. But anyways, I'll tell briefly what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. My sobriety date is May 12th, 2004. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. This is my home group. This group has, you know, saved my life. I apologize to those of you that were at the place where I was talking last night. Hopefully tonight turns out better than that. But I was remembering the first house meeting I went to, and I know David, who's the father of my daughter today, Ryan, Todd, and that's it. I know Bill he weren't there that night, but he was definitely in the group. And then there were like four girls, and one of those girls is still sober. This was like 10 years ago. Okay. I wasn't getting sober at this point. I was just kind of like seeing what was up. And you know, God put me right with the winners. You know, none of those girls are sober anymore except for one, and we still keep in touch today. But God placed me with the winners. Like, that was none of my doing. Like, God just put me there, you know, put me amongst the people that were doing stuff and the people that were working a program and the people that are, I mean, think about it, 40% of those people still sober today. Like, that's amazing. That's a huge, that doesn't happen everywhere. What happens here doesn't happen everywhere. But I remember Ryan was there, and I had known him from drinking kind of on the outside, you know, at Gasparilla and stuff. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember I he's like, uh-oh, what's happening? I met him. He was out on the patio smoking, and I went out there, and I was like, hey, you know how we, like, know each other from the outside and stuff? I was like, you know, I'll just kind of tag along with you. Like, you know, that cool? And he's like, no, like... Like, he was just like, you know, like, he's like, maybe you want to go talk to Emery, you know? And I was just like, oh no, you know, it'll be cool. Like, you can kind of show me the ropes or whatever. He's like, no. Like, I could tell he was like scared, deer in headlights look. But it was awesome. And like, thank God God didn't throw me into a group of like complete dogs that were like, oh yeah, you're like new and easy, right? Like, let's, you know, we could probably get her to have a threesome with us. You know, they were not like that. They weren't like that at all, you know. They were practicing a real program, you know, and they didn't want to, okay? I was despicable. Like, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure I offered on, anyways, I'm probably going off on a tangent here. I was your typical new person, firecracker, when they get here. I was out of control, okay? I was trying to do anything but look at myself, you know, and a lot of times that comes out, and I see some head nodding here, these front rows, these girls, my homegirls, you know? They're like, yeah, the first thing we want is a man so that we don't have to, like, look at our problems, you know? It's a nice, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of comforting. But anyways, I should probably talk about my story before I run out of time. I was a major drinker. I was like a big, sloppy, like garden variety alcoholic. I never drank like a martini. I don't know anything about wine to this day, except I work at a restaurant, so I know there's like red and white, you know, and maybe some other kinds. I don't know. But it's funny that all the customers are like, oh, how's the Annabella Chardonnay? And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know. I don't drink, okay? It's like, feels kind of weird to say that. But anyways. They Okay, back to where I was with drinking. Yeah, big, bad, sloppy drunk, embarrassing. I remember I was talking in a talk I gave last night and remembering how, like, my boyfriend was just my hero, you know, because I thought he really saved me and, you know, really put me in some, took me out of some really bad situations and put me in some really safe ones. And by that, I mean, like, we went from the crack house to the crystal meth maker's house, you know, and, like, I was like, oh, thank God we're out of there, you know, and, like, I tell my mom, I'd be like, oh, Nick is my hero, you know, like, he loves me so much, you know, and, you know, he never asked where I got the crack from, you know, it was always from, well, F it, you know, one of our best friends, you know, sold crack, and I would do whatever it took to get it, and I would have it, you know, and he never asked, and I was like, he trusts me so much, but really, it's like, he didn't give a crap, he probably knew, and was like, good, keep doing it, you know, keep us both supplied. I was like, yeah, he really trusts me, he has no idea, he's so naive, you know, but, and I remember one time I got so shit-faced at a bar, instead of him, like, taking me home, he put me in the back of his Honda Civic hatchback and, like, locked the doors in the parking lot of the Port Tampa bar. Do you remember Tilly's? It's, like, way, way Port Tampa, like, as far as you can go. I don't even know if it's there anymore. So I'm, like, locked in there in the car in the parking lot of Tilly's. But, I mean, I was passed out, so it was okay. And then I'd be like, Nick really loves me, you know. He wanted to make sure no men were going to take advantage of me in the bar, so he put me in the car, you know. It's just crazy, you know. Alcohol makes things acceptable that are absolutely not acceptable and not safe, you know, not classy. So I'm going to, you know, just give you a couple examples of show you that I really am an alcoholic. I remember one time, as if you don't think so already. I remember one time I had a bunch of drinks. I may or may not, I know we're not supposed to talk about this, may or may not had, you know, some, you know, they're called yellow school buses. I don't know if you know what those are, but I may have had 14 of them. And, you know, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, you know, it's a record, you know, see if I survive. And anyways, I went to sleep on a mattress in my brother's room because he had moved out. Why I went in the mattress in my brother's room, I do not know. He didn't live there anymore. My mom went out of town for 3 days and I was like in bed, you know, on the mattress. And she's like, bye, I love you. You know, do the dishes. You know, don't forget to feed Tiny and do Tiny's litter, my cat. And I was like, yeah, yeah, no problem. Get out of here. Well, when she came home 3 days later, I guess I was in the same spot. And she was like, have you been here the entire time? And I'm like, have I? I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it was like waking up out of a blackout, but it's like a real blackout because you've been sleeping the entire time. So, oh, my God, that was crazy. And then, you know, the last time that I ever drank, and I remember times being like feeling powerless before I ever knew what that word meant. I went to my first AA meeting at 15. I was like, oh yeah, this is like scared straight. I definitely don't want to come here. Look at all these old creeps that don't drink. You know, I only like old creeps that do drink. You know, like this isn't my place. My favorite place to hang out was the auto mechanic shop. You know, Pops was over there. He always had a couple beers for me and some other goodies, if we were lucky. But So yeah, so I had kind of knew about what AA was, but I wasn't really interested at all. I didn't think I had a drinking problem. I was 15, so I was like, you know, 3 years ago I was 12, like, and you're calling me an alcoholic, you know, like, is this a joke? Is this like a baby on Family Guy? Like, I know he's all grown up and stuff, like, he could be an alcoholic, but not me. I mean, this is crazy. I'm like a little girl, you know? I was a little girl. I remember one time I showed up there drunk, and they didn't even, I had to go to this, I had to go to that place twice a week. I got arrested at school. You know, when you smoke weed, you think everybody smokes weed. So I was just doing it right out in the open. Of course I got arrested. At high school in the parking lot, okay? And they got $50 for turning me in. So, yeah, I was like not interested in AA. Thank you. And, been in and out of AA. I got arrested a couple more times. I would get like violent or really cryy, you know, when I was drunk, just depending on like what radio station was on. Delilah was like, ah. You know, so it was like 98.7. I was like, gonna try to fight my boyfriend. I remember when I got arrested and they put me in big person jail. And is that funny? Orient Road? I don't know. And I was like, finally, I'm with my people. I'm like, these people get me. You know what I mean? I did not feel like, what am I doing here? There was no illusion that I was not a completely trashy alcoholic. There was no denying that in my mind. You know, I knew. And I knew that I had experienced powerlessness because my mom would be like, why do you have to leave tonight? You know, after I like bit her trying to get through to the door. Because she'd like try to block the door. I would just do whatever I could. I'm not really like a puncher, you know, so I'd bite and be like, and I do whatever it took to get to my alcohol, you know. And she'd try to block the door, and she'd be like, why are you like this? Why are you like this? And why did you steal $20 out of your brother's wallet? It was like way more than 20. And I'm like, Mom, gosh. And in like a moment of clarity, I said, do you think I want to be like this? You know, it was like I kind of had an inkling that something else was calling the shots, that something was wrong with me that was out of my control at that point, that I didn't have a choice. So the last night that I drank, I had been in and out of AA for 3 years at that point, because I started coming like to the young people's group from 18 to 21, or 18 till now, 28 now. And I remember, you know, the first couple meetings, I just thought it was kind of weird. You know, until I really hit my bottom, I wasn't willing to take any action. I get a sponsor like in name only or whatever. But the last day I drank, it was 2 weeks after my 21st birthday, and I remember one of my reservations was, if I could just buy booze legally, I wouldn't have to binge drink all the time. You know, if I could just have a little bit every day, you know, I wouldn't have to, like, take all you can take, you know, when you can get it, you know? I wouldn't have to steal, you know, from the... I don't have time for that story, but it's so funny. you know, I wouldn't have to steal from the convenience store, like just walk out with beer, you know, or you know, steal my friend's parents' beers. They'd be like, it's not really cool if you drink all my dad's beers, you know. And I'm like, oh, it'll be fine, you know, thinking everybody's like me. And they'd be like, you know, you need to replace those. I'm like, what? Like, what's with everybody? Jeez. everybody's so stingy. But I remember, you know, this morning I woke up and I felt like, okay, the first time in my life, I was just turned 21 and I thought, oh, and then so I turned 21 and that morning, like, okay, 11 a.m., should be in the sign, I went to the convenience store and bought, you know, like I don't even know what they're called anymore. It's over a 24 ounce maybe, like natural ice, the big ones, you know. Yeah, it's the cheapest. And you know, within 30, I was like, I'll just have one to celebrate, you know, by myself while my mom's at work. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm back there. And 30 minutes later, I'm back again. And now I'm like, well, I'll just get two because this is kind of getting ridiculous. Keep going back and forth. I was walking, you know, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car or a job or anything. And so, you know, that's how that day turned out. And then, you know, 2 weeks later was the last time I drank. I remember that day was the very first time that I felt like this yearning to not drink or use. And like, I really didn't want to that day. I don't know why. I knew that, you know, today I wanted to be sober. I wanted to give something to my mom today. You know, I wanted to tell her I love her, did the dishes or something like that. Anything, you know, like that. And, or just, you know, be there, like just be with her or whatever. And, you know, as 5 p.m. goes on and the alcohol from your system from last night is now completely, you know, excreted in whatever way, you know, I'm starting to get antsy and I'm starting to get really pissed off, you know, and I'm starting to just, like, do the dishes and I'm, like, slamming the dishes, you know, and, like, my mom's like, stop slamming the dishes, you're breaking them, and that's, like, a side note, but she'd be like, you're antsy because you need a drink, and I'm like, no, I'm antsy because I want to get that F out of here. Like, if you had a mom like me, you'd want to get out of here too. You know, like, you're such a nag. It has nothing to do with alcohol. And I'd be like, Nick, please come pick me up and bring a six pack. You know, like, first thing. But anyway, so I did, I said, you know what? You always drink. This is self-talk. Self, you always drink. You need to just do it. Just give up. Like, why are you even, what's the point? You know, you always drink. So I did. I went out and drank because I always did. You know, I was defeated. I was like, whatever. You know, I don't care. It's just going to be this way. I just really want to drink right now, and I don't care about anything else. So I did, and I drank, and I did did drugs, and I got, you know, really wasted. I'm not really sure how I got home, but I remember laying in bed at 5 o'clock in the morning on a lot of drugs, but I was thinking really clearly. Like, no amount of alcohol this night and no amount of drugs this night could cover up the things that I had heard in AA, and it could not push me into oblivion. You know, I was still very much present, and I was like, whoa, this is not cool. This has never happened before. I don't know what's going on. I was like, should I jump out the window? I'm like, I'm really thrown off by this feeling. And I remember thinking, you know, those people in AA, they were right. They said that if I was an alcoholic, the time and place would come where I would drink again if I didn't change. You know, if I didn't do these steps and have this spiritual awakening that they were talking about. And I knew that I hadn't changed. They used to say the same alcoholic will drink again. And I never knew what that meant, but that night I knew what it meant. I knew that I was the same. I had done no work to change over those 3 years. And there I was drunk again, and I didn't want to be. You know, I had a sincere desire to stop, and I couldn't. Even, you know, for one night, there was no, like, you know, like Jesse said, I never tried to control my drinking or, you know, not drink. Like, that was, why would you even do that? That's like a waste of a night. And then the second thought I had was, you know, those people in AA, I think that they know more about me than I know about myself. And that was kind of like me being like, okay, I'm gonna listen to them. You know, maybe they were right. Maybe they have something there. Maybe they have something worth learning there, because they all were doing so good, you know, like, they had jobs, cars, they were picking each other up. They were genuinely happy about being sober. And I had never seen people genuinely happy about being sober, you know, except here and other groups that we went to. Like, I could see like a sparkle in their eye, and I'm like, there's no way they were as bad as me, you know. But I had heard their stories, you know. I'd seen them get sober because I was just kind of hanging around taking for a long time. And that was probably the worst time in my life, was that in and out time. But in that night, I also had like a really profound, sudden spiritual experience where God just, I feel like it was God, but then I'm like, I'm not important enough for God to come visit, so it had to be like an angel, right? So like an angel came in my room, and it was like from head to toe, I just felt all my anxiety, all my fear, all my doubts that I could get sober, all the fear about the future, all the fear about, you know, how am I going to sit in a room with people? Even drunk, it was getting hard to sit in a room with people. All that just went away, you know, all my fear, and God had put some information in my head, and I know that He had to put it there, because there was no, this information did not come from me. And it was, you know, I love you and I love your mom, because my mom was really going through it at the time too, and everything's going to be okay, you know. And when something that powerful says that to you, you believe it. There's no choice, you know. You're just like, okay, everything's going to be okay, you know. And it's just bam, everything's going to be okay. And then go to a meeting, and any other questions that you have, ask your sponsor who you're going to get tomorrow. So I did. I went in my mom's room at like 6 a.m. because I was still awake, and she was like, are you on LSD? Because I told her what happened, you know? And I was like, it's okay that she thinks I'm on LSD, because I know what just happened. It was really awesome. And I just had this enormous like peace about me, you know? Like, yeah, still to this day, kind of iffy, but it worked. You know, I've never had a drink since then, so who knows? Hallucination, real spiritual experience, I don't know, but it worked. So that next day, I asked my mom to drop me off at some AA friend's house over at Todd and David's house. And there was, you know, this boy that I liked there, so I wanted to stay there. And they were all watching a hockey game, and I was, like, in my cute outfit and everything. So, like, I wanted to stay. And Todd was the only one that was, like, going to a meeting that night. And so I was like, oh, I know God told me I had to go to this meeting and get a sponsor. So I drove out with Todd, even though the guy that I liked was at the house. I'm like, crap, you know, I'm missing my chance here. Like, if I hadn't have gone, I'd miss my chance to like live. So it was kind of interesting. But I went to the meeting. I did get a sponsor, and I started asking her all the questions that I had been afraid to ask. I had a lot of pride and ego. For what? I don't know. Okay, I was a mess. I couldn't stay sober. You know, I was, I don't know, sometimes dressing like in rags and sometimes dressing like real like skanky looking. Probably greasy hair a lot, I imagine. I wasn't really taking good care of myself at the time, but man, I had pride and ego like up to here. And I was afraid to tell you guys I didn't know how to stay sober. You know, I was afraid to tell you that, yeah, I've been sitting around these rooms for 3 years, but I have no idea what they're talking about here. And when you guys say spiritual principles or a power greater than ourselves, I have no idea what you're talking about. Prayer and meditation, I pretty much have no idea what you're talking about. And Big Book, like, it just seems like Greek hieroglyphics to me, or whatever Egyptian, I don't know. And I started asking the sponsor, you know, just like God had told me, ask the sponsor all the questions. So I did. And her name was Karen, and she took me through the Big Book, you know, and we read page by page. And she's like, see, the steps are in here. I never knew that. You know, I had been sitting in these rooms for 3 years not listening. Obviously, that's why I didn't know that. But I had no idea. The steps are outlined in the book, you know, and it says, like, you know, then we were at step three, or next we concluded on a... next we launched on a course of vigorous action, you know, like the steps are in there. And and you know, if you get a little more advanced, you can go to 12 and 12, which is full of just like pearls of wisdom, you know. So we did all the steps, and you know, I was kind of on like a spiritual high for like 2 years. The people that knew me when I was new will tell you that I was acting just as bad as I had before, but I thought I was like holy now, you know. I was like, you couldn't shut me up in a meeting. I'm like, I've got a really important spiritual experience to tell you about. Everybody had memorized it. Like, I'd raise my hand, I'd hear like laughing and groaning. But you know, I was so spiritual, it didn't bother me. So I was like, whatever, they don't want to hear it, I'm going to tell them, you know. I mean, there are people in this room right now that could recite it to you. And you could not shut me up. For a while, my sponsor was like, if somebody asks you to read How It Works, say no. And I'm like, why? She's like, you love it too much. just give somebody else a chance for once. I'm like, okay. You know, since doing my steps with Karen, I did have a spiritual experience. And it talks about in the Big Book, our whole attitude and outlook on life has changed. And there's like this abrupt emotional rearrangements of thoughts and ideas. And if you haven't had that yet, it's really real. Like, I read about it in the Big Book, and I was like, that's probably just like fluffy, like wishful thinking, you know, like arrange attitude ideas. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But that's really real. Like, that really happens here. And if you do what your sponsor does, you're going to get what they have. You know, I just started copying Karen. Like, whatever she did, I would do, you know. I mean, I guess I was really, you know, still chaotic in my personal life and stuff. But I was doing the steps, you know, and I was doing the best that I could. And I did the most honest 4-step that I could because I wanted relief, you know. I had a little bit of serenity from that immediate spiritual experience that I had May 12th, but I knew that there was more possible. And the more I went on with this stuff, the more I felt it. I have almost just a couple minutes left, but I just want to talk about stuff that's happened since then. I've been really cool in sobriety, like I told you before, and then I've been like really a loser where people are like, oh my God, look at her, look at the way she's acting, you know, all me again. but you know, I stayed sober, and I see other people go through really embarrassing situations in public, in AA, and you know what, you can stay sober too, because it can't get as bad as it got the way that I was acting in front of my whole home group, where I thought everybody was looking up to me, and I, you know, oh my God, so bad. But you know what, I'm not even that important. You guys probably don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But oh my God, I just felt like I was acting like such a dumbass in front of everybody, you know, and just embarrassing myself. But you can come through that, you know. Sobriety is a journey. It's not a destination. It's not like I get here and then all of a sudden I intuitively know how to handle every situation. A lot of times I don't. God throws me a curveball and I act the wrong way in front of people, you know, in front of people like sponsees, you know, like really important people that you want them to like think good of you. But you know, we're all human, and the best we're ever going to be is human. So thank you. Since getting through that stuff, I had a surprise happen to me, and it was a pregnancy. And I had a baby girl, December 10th. Her name's Ava. She was seven. What was she? No, she was 8 pounds, 8 ounces. Thank you, David. She was a big girl. I had to have a C-section. After that, I had to go to the hospital. And she was from 11 to 16 days old. Her daddy took care of her, you know, a brand new infant. And that's like a big deal. And I had to trust him to be able to take care of her without me because I was in the hospital. And to this day, you know, like, I'm a really good mom, and like, and I know that I am. I don't get, like I was saying earlier, to as many meetings as I want to, or even have the time to meet with as many people as I would like to. But I'm doing what God put in front of me, you know, and I feel like I'm doing God's will. And I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity to have a daughter. Of course, I'm terrified of ever drinking again or her ever drinking again. But I know that. I mean, not again, you know. I swear, we don't give her NyQuil, I promise. I'm terrified of all that stuff, but I know that if I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep doing this stuff, you know, and keeping AA like a major, sometimes my daughter takes priority, but keeping AA a major priority in my life and God first, that I can stay sober, you know, almost like no problem, you know, if I just keep doing this stuff. This is a way of living that works in rough going, and it works in good times too. So if any of you are new, please just get a sponsor. And any questions that you have, don't feel stupid about asking a sponsor. This is your life we're talking about here. You know, I act really funny and stuff, but underneath it all, there's dead earnestness. Like, we're all here, and probably 50% of us should be in caskets right now. I'm going to be Lindsay's maid of honor. I should be attending her funeral, you know, or vice versa. I mean, well, you know, if we weren't here... Hey, she was really bad, okay? You guys should hear her story. She used to drink alcohol out of troughs. But I gotta go, but thank you all for my sobriety.